Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, dear Bloodfield Radio family, I'd like to really thank you so much for hanging out. I'd like to talk to all of y'all people out there, just like you're my family. And so I've got to tell you something, too. I hope you don't take it too personal when I slam the churches, be you Catholic, be you Protestant, because I know we have Catholics that listen to this program. I know we have Baptists. And keep in mind, people, like I told you, I married a cradle Catholic. She's a cradle Catholic. They come from Ireland. God only knows how long they had been Catholic. But my wife, she did leave the Catholic Church in 1986. And I'm not slamming people that are there in the Catholic Church. It's just the bureaucracy, the hierarchy in all these churches. Pretty much most of them I've found, and this is me talking now, people. So I hope you don't hold it against me too much. But if you do, that's just the way it is. I'm not going to hide my candle under a bushel. Most of these people, they have been so corrupted. And if you go to most of these churches, you almost have to sell your birthright of being white, or you have to worship the Jews, or the blacks, or you just can't go in these mainstream these churches. But I'd like to leave you this one thing before we go. This has nothing to do with what we're getting ready to talk about. But always remember, we fight against the enemy of God on this show. And that enemy is the ancient Jew, the age-old antichrist, Christ-killing, Christ-hating Jew. And their end goal, the only goal they have in mind in the end, is they want us dead. They want to exterminate white people off the face of the earth. That's what they want to do. And there will always be the policy of Blood River Radio to fight against them, to fight against global white genocide. And I know I kind of bumbled the second hour, but that's the heart of what I would like to offer. That our continuous message will never change. We fight against that. Well, anyway, I'm going to shut up now. I'm going to go. The bitter ender himself has come on to rescue y'all from this bumbling old dude here. And before we go to Sister Nancy, I'd like to say if the bitter ender would just say hello, because everybody loves the bitter ender, man. How you doing tonight, bitter ender?
Well, I'm doing great, Eddie. Thank you for having me on the program, and I want to turn it over to Nancy. She had a couple of items that she wanted to cover, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Nikki Haley. Not one of my favorite people, but the firestorm she stirred up when she said the Civil War was not about slavery, and all the things that she did wrong that brought this firestorm down on herself, and how she didn't know how to defend herself. And that's what I would like to tell our people out there. When you stand up for the South, or our Confederate ancestors, or conservatisms, and then the news media and your political opponents and the black whining, complaining, offended hyphen Americans, you've got to have some ammunition to fire back at them, put them on the defensive. So that being said, that's sort of a preview of what I'd like to cover, and I'll turn it over to Nancy because she has a couple of really important items we need to get out to our listeners. So Nancy, go right ahead.
Okay, Gene, I just received a message from Mindy Esposito. She has been on this program before, and she is with the Southern Independence Association. She is or one of the organizers, or maybe the main organizer, for a silent memorial, which will be held at the Arlington Cemetery on Thursday, January the 11th at 10 a.m., in section 16, and this memorial is to the desecration of the Confederate graves and to the end of reconciliation, to the end of reconciliation. And that's exactly what we ought to be talking about, that or we should be aware of, that why should we even continue to talk about peaceful negotiations and relations with those people up north who hate us. But I think it's very interesting that the cemetery itself is including, you have to have a valid ID and a security check to get into Arlington. I mean, there is nothing that belongs to the American people anymore. There's nothing that's free access anymore. There's nothing that we own if the Federals have a stamp on it. So you've got to have a valid ID and pass a security check to get into the to Arlington. Maybe that's been going on for years, because I know that they will not, my understanding, they won't allow you to go in unless you go in by bus. But anyway, that's coming up on Thursday. And I think maybe, Gene, if you want to talk about Nikki Haley, all I have is some notes about how she's made a whole lot of money recently.
Well, go ahead. And, you go with that, and then I'll pick up what I need to do.
Okay.
So,
well,
Sister Nancy, let me say one thing. Sister Nancy, I'd like to say one little thing before you get started. You know, we slam Yankees, but who our enemy is the bureaucracy, the people that are ensconced in the bureaucracy, and it's always, you know who it is? It's always the same old Jew. It's always Jews all the time. We are fighting these Jews that are headed, you know, they appoint the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. They appoint the Secretary of the Army, the Commandant of the Marine Corps. They are ensconced in all of government, in the bureaucracies, the State Department, Department of Defense. They are the ones that hate us. This is this eternal enemy of Christ. We have a lot of supporters from up north, and a lot of the northern people do have a jaundiced view of Southerners. But by and large, our enemy is the same old ancient enemy. Go back to you, Sister Nancy. I hope I didn't interrupt you, Sister Nancy.
Yeah, I understand, and you're right about that, Eddie. You're correct about that. I just wanted to talk about someone I cannot stand is Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley, when she was the governor of South Carolina, of course, she was instrumental or certainly encouraged the removal of the Confederate flag. So that is one a black mark I have against Nikki Haley. But what is interesting, I do like Vivek Ramaswamy, and he's been talking about Nikki Haley, and some of the things he is saying are true. He said that Nikki's family was going bankrupt, and that she has basically been bought and sold by the military complex. And if you in this research I did, it looks like that he is right. He said, according to the research, it said that she at one point she went from a millionaire to now she has $8 million $8 million in her estate. She was the U.S. ambassador to the UN, appointed by Trump. And it's funny because I think she was a never Trumper, and she certainly doesn't have anything good to say about Trump right now. But she gave up this government job, which you would think would have been a pretty good paying job as a UN ambassador. She gave it up. She gave speeches for Barclays and other organizations, such as the Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs. The Center for Israel and Jewish Affairs. This is important. Haley made $2.3 million from 11 events in 2022. She wrote two books, which she made a lot of money off that, advance payments. She became the director of Boeing in 2019. She remains on the board of United Homes Group. And by the way, her husband is a defense entrepreneur. So we want her for president, I guess.
She can suck a lot more money out of the American taxpayer. That's the way it operates in Washington. You go there to make money.
So there's your Nikki Haley. Her family was going under. They had spent a whole lot of money on properties and strip malls, and she was trying to help them. And so she gave up the job, which you would think was a big job, as a U.S. ambassador, U.S. ambassador at the U.N., to go into giving speeches and also become director of Boeing in 2019. And I think she may have given up that position, but she's now a multimillionaire. And I'll tell you, Vivek, whatever was said about him, he knew exactly what he was talking about Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley is one we definitely do not want to support.
Oh, absolutely. No. And the thing is, you're going back to taking the flag down. When she was governor of South Carolina, taking the flag down from the Confederate Memorial, that was a compromise. The whiners and complainers and Governor Beasley that was down there caved into the whiners and complainers, the usual suspects, the offended-Americans that are still hobbling on the slavery crutch. So they took the flag down from the top of the Capitol. They had the Yankee flag, the Confederate flag, and the South Carolina state flag, and they took it off the Capitol and moved it down ground level to the Confederate Memorial there in front of the Capitol in Columbia, which actually more people would see it down there than they would up on top of the building. But then Nikki had the frantic female attack and went waddling out there and took it down from the memorial. And so this proves that she is just one of these rhino Republicanettes that talk a good game about being conservative until they are elected. And as soon as they get elected, they start peeling that snakeskin off, and we find a venomous viper underneath that disguised as Republican. So, So anyway, we'll get into that after the break.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Hello, Blood River Radio family. We really appreciate you. It's not just rhetoric when we say that. I really feel akin to all y'all, you people. Just a few people to mention. We talk about all the time. Look, old Jay-Z from Blood River Radio Zone AZ. We have... he was a Vietnam vet, just like, old Jeans on here, I guess we're all about the same age and born under pretty much the same star. We have old Biscuit and a Kim from New York who donated this last week. But I'd just like to thank y'all again. We can't thank you too much. Without y'all, we could not try to fight this battle we're doing. And I just hope that we're serving God like we should, and I hope we live up to your people's expectations of us. But serving God comes first and foremost. And with that, we're going to go right back to Bitter Ender. Go ahead, Bitter Ender.
Well, before the break, we brought up Nikki Haley, whose real name is Nikki Benagumba. That's Rodney Dangerfield's doctor. You know, my doctor, Benny Goomba. You know, I went to see him the other day. He told me I was fat. I need to lose some weight. I said, "It can't be, Doc. I work out. I'm in great shape. I want a second opinion." He says, "Okay, you're ugly, too." So, yeah, that's Dr. Benny Goomba. Nikki Goomba. So, anyway, who knows nothing about Southern history, Nikki, but I can't bash her too much. We got a low-rat governor here in Tennessee. Did exactly the same thing. Bill Slick Willie Lee, when he was running for governor, one of our members of Sons of Confederate Veterans went to this fundraising dinner and sat across the table from him and asked him point blank, right into his face, he said, "Will you protect our Confederate monuments if you get elected governor?" And he said, oh, yes, sir, I'm a conservative. I believe in that. I believe that. Will you defend the forest bust in the state capital of Tennessee? And, oh, yes, sir, yes, sir. He's elected. It wasn't 6 months till this lying snake started crawfishing and backing up. And the low-down rat appointed three black members that hate the South, hate whites, to the Capitol Commission. And then he appointed three liberal, self-hating whites. And so the Capitol Commission voted to take the forest bust out of the state capitol, where it had been donated and paid for by the Sons of Confederate Veterans, and moved the bust down to a corner, way back in the corner of the state museum. And so he can throw his hands up and say, oh, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. The Capitol Commission did it. But who appointed the Capitol Commission? So I voted for the clown the first time he ran. The second time, we were trying to get as many people in as we could in the state to write in Nathan Bedford Forrest, and was hoping he was going to lose by 2,000 or 3,000 votes that he lost to Forrest. But the Democrats ran Joe Nobody, so he really didn't have any competition for a second term. Anyway, it's just another criticism of our so-called conservative Republicans. So we're talking about Tricky Nicky, the former governor of South Carolina, who's running for president and was in Iowa. And somebody asked her, and I'm sure this guy had this question given to him as a setup to try to trap her or trip her up. He said, was the Civil War fought over slavery? And she said, no, it was about independence from a federal government, which is correct. But then she had no way to defend that. And then they immediately, the news media, the prostitutes in the news media, and her opponents like Chubby Boy, Chris Christie from New Jersey, and Ronnie Stein DeSantis from Florida, jumped all over that. And she made the mistake of not firing back at them. And she obviously has never studied the tactics of Nathan Bedford Forrest. You do not defend, you attack. And Forrest said, never stand to receive the attack of the enemy. Always take the initiative and get there first with the most men. And when you attack them back, the news nerds or these lunatic liberals, they have one question that they can ask. And then if you throw it back in their face and attack them and hit them and beat them up with facts and facts and facts and facts and quotations from that time period, they have no comeback for it. And that's where she lost this debate. And then she turned around and apologized and started backtracking, which is a double mistake. Because once you do that, it's like throwing fish heads and blood into the water. It attracts the sharks from all over. And they smell that blood in the water. And, buddy, they are coming from every point on the compass to go after you then. So my suggestion to Tricky Nicky or Nicky Benagumba or whatever her original name was before it was Haley, like I said, first, never defend. Attack them. And what you need to do is throw it back in the questioner's face. Say, first of all, if I were there and I was going to defend her statement, I'd say, well, first of all, you got a wrong question. This was not a civil war. A civil war is a war fought between two factions within a country for the control of the government of that country. The South never wanted to take over the United States government. We simply wanted to leave. We told them, you elected that low-life snake Lincoln. You got him. He's your president. You keep him in Washington. We're leaving. And said, we should have told him, you know, it's been fun and it's been real, but it ain't been real fun. We're out of here. And so that was, leaving is not a civil war. The South was one of the most peaceful countries ever formed. They just, seven states voted to leave and they left. We didn't storm the Bastille. We didn't murder the Tsar and his family. Heck, we didn't even dump tea into the harbor. We just said, no, this is not working out. You're not following the Constitution. You've ignored the Constitution. And the Constitution is just a piece of paper. It depends on who is in power in government to defend the Constitution. And you're not defending the Constitution, so we're leaving. Now, the second thing she could have said was it wasn't about slavery because both of the leaders, both of the presidents, said it wasn't about slavery. Our president, Jefferson Davis, said we seek no said it wasn't about slavery, and we seek no conquest nor aggrandizement. All that we ask is to be left alone. And their president, Slimy Abe, said that the states that are the seven states that already had seceded could stay out of the union. Those states could keep their slaves as long as they paid their taxes to the United States government. So taxes were more important than abolishing slavery to Lincoln. He wanted the money. And he needed those seven states in the union to pay for the federal government. In 1860, the federal budget, and I've read two or three accounts of this, some say 102, some I've heard up to about $105 billion annually. That was the federal budget. And you laugh at that now. I mean, they blow that in lunchtime in Washington now, just on cold beer and hookers. So but in 1860, that was a lot of money. And the South, because of taxes on agricultural products and tariffs on imports, the South was paying, and they've been two or three numbers on this, anywhere from 82 to 84 million out of that 103 billion. So the South was paying for the government, but getting nothing in return, because all the projects, the internal improvements, they called it back then, we call it pork barrel spending today, but the internal improvements for railroads and canals and national highways, all that was being spent in the North, and we were getting nothing for that. So the Southerners said, I don't think so. We're not paying taxes to a foreign country. The other thing that she could have thrown in their face was the reason why it wasn't about slavery. Ask that guy that asked that question, if it were about slavery, how do you explain the first 13th Amendment? And, well, the 13th Amendment abolished slavery. No. That was the second 13th Amendment. How do you explain the first 13th Amendment that was passed by the United States Congress, not the Confederate Congress? It was also known as the Corwin Amendment, C-O-R-W-I-N. Representative Corwin of Ohio brought up this amendment that was passed by the United States Congress that would have defended slavery and protected slavery as the 13th Amendment in the United States Constitution, in an effort to get the southern states that had seceded back into the Union. And four states that were in the Union in the North passed it. So if you get those seven southern states coming back in, you're getting pretty close to that two-thirds to make that amendment part of the Constitution that would protect slavery, not abolish slavery. That was the second 13th Amendment, second time they used number 13. This is the first time they used number 13. And so President Buchanan said if it passed Congress and they got two-thirds of the states, he would sign it into law, no problem. So it was more important to get the southern states back in than it was to abolish slavery. The next question she could have asked the person that brought that up was, if it were about slavery, then how do you explain the Hampton Roads Conference? And they just give you that deer in the headlights look when you bring that up, or the Corwin Amendment. Said, well, since you're such an expert on southern history, how do you explain the Hampton Roads Conference? And, of course, they'll just stand there with a blank stare. Well, Vice President of the Confederacy, Alexander Stevens, met with Lincoln on the presidential yacht at Hampton Roads, Virginia, which is that part of the Chesapeake Bay down there near Norfolk and Point Comfort. And Vice President Stevens said, look, since you've changed the object of the war from just preserving the Union to also abolishing slavery, what if we abolish slavery? Will you grant us our independence? Will we trade slavery for independence? Heck yeah, we'll do that any day. And Lincoln turned them down because he felt like they could win the war and make any kind of demand that they wanted to against the South. Another thing she might have asked was who brought the slaves to this continent? The Southerners didn't start the slave trade. The Africans did. A long, long time before the Portuguese or the Spanish or the British and finally the Americans were visiting the West Coast and buying these slaves that other African tribes had rounded up and brought down to the coast to make money and built these large settlements there. So we'll go on with that right after the break.
You're right on the money, Gene. Can't wait to hear the rest of that story. Be right back, people.
Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA News, I'm Laura Winters. New this Saturday, we learned Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has been in the hospital since Monday, and no one from the White House alerting the media or the public. Heavy criticism from reporters who cover the Pentagon. Austin reportedly being treated from complications following a minor elective medical procedure. Austin is 70 years old. Another handout to illegal aliens, a report from California that Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom will be giving free health care to another 750,000 illegals on top of the 1.1 already receiving it at taxpayer expense. This comes as California is facing its biggest budget deficit ever. One person killed, 12 hurt after a bus crashes in upstate New York on a highway near Lake George. Police say the bus rolled over, detectives investigating the cause of the crash. Pennsylvania Senator Democrat John Fetterman says he doesn't recognize his alma mater, Harvard, anymore. Fetterman speaking out about former Harvard president Claudine Gay, who was forced to step down after she refused to condemn anti-Semitism raging on campus. Fetterman in an interview saying, as an alum of Harvard, look, I graduated 25 years ago, and of course it was always a little pinko, but now I don't recognize it. In other news, a third batch of Jeffrey Epstein documents unsealed. The new public documents allege Epstein and his associates would target and troll nightclubs looking for teenage girls. Also, new details about Prince Andrew. His butler alleges he received daily massages at Epstein's home in Palm Beach, Florida. And we learn Epstein invoked the Fifth Amendment 500 times during a deposition in 2016, and he dodged questions about former President Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. This is USA News.
Hey, here's a question. After you wear your clothes, you toss them in the washing machine, right? Nobody wants to wear dirty clothes. So how do we don't throw your shoes in the washing machine when they get dirty? I mean, come on. Your shoes are touching the filthy ground all day long. Gross. But with Skechers, you can. Because most Skechers are machine washable. That's right. Skechers are specially made so you can toss them right in the washing machine and keep them clean and looking new. And when they look new, you can confidently wear them longer. That's less shoes you're going to want to throw away, which means less waste. And it'll save you tons of dough. I love that. Plus, machine washable Skechers are for the whole family, men, women, and kids. So when your kids get their shoes dirty, oh, and we know they will, just wash them. Brilliant. And even our latest technology, new hands-free Skechers slip-ins are washable. You just step right in and go without bending down or even touching your shoes. So give your Skechers the same treatment you give your clothes. Just toss them in the washing machine and keep them looking brand spanking new. Find machine washable Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear happens to be sold.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
My name is Christian Knuckles. I prophesy there will be no revival until the church leadership stops lying to the people. I'm the first soldier of the spiritual body of Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Confederate Church of Christ. I'm here to declare the lion will lie down with the lamb when the lying stops. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries and brought to you by ConfederateChurchOfChrist.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
She's a woman.
Hello, Blood River Radio family. I really thank y'all so much for being on. I really appreciate y'all. Appreciate our staff. I'm so close to our staff. I know they're close to me, too, but, you know, I just like to know, I don't want you to ever think that we take any of our listeners for granted. We certainly don't take our supporters for granted. We do it for you, folks. We do it for our family, like you say, first and foremost. But we consider you our family, so I guess I'm rambling on here. But we're going to go right back to the bitter ender, and he's going to go right back, and we're talking about Nikki Haley and how ignorant they are as for what really on, what went on, what caused Lincoln's war, et cetera, et cetera. So go ahead, bitter ender. Continue on where you were, brother, before we went to the break.
Well, like you said back at the first of the program, as a disclaimer, I'm not defending Nikki Haley or Nikki Benny Badagumba, whatever her real name is. You know, because of her panic attack and taking the flag down from the Capitol building there in Columbia, South Carolina, when she was governor of Columbia. And she just really literally had a female panic attack or whatever you want to call it, because the flag had nothing to do with that shooting in Charleston. That crazy white kid went in there and shot up that black church. Then the media dug up a picture of him in high school with a Confederate flag. Well, it was years and years and years before he went into this church. He didn't go charging into the church like Pickett's charge at Gettysburg and the battle flags from Pickett's division going over the stone wall at Cemetery Ridge. That didn't happen. That was a made-up story by the news media, just like they canonized and made a saint out of George Floyd, a lifelong criminal, drug addict, and somebody that died of a drug overdose in Minneapolis. The news media just made this up. And I've even read some accounts that they photoshopped that picture of this kid, that the original picture that he went online and published was a picture of him burning the Yankee flag. And the news media then photoshopped a Confederate flag in there and used that and this shooting at this black church to attack everything Confederate, monuments, flags, anything. And then that's when Tricky Nikki went running out there, waddling out there, whatever she did, and yanked the flag down from the soldiers' memorial there in front of the Capitol in Columbia, South Carolina. So I'm not defending her. I think what I'm really trying to do is give our listeners an idea of how to defend your conservative stance, your pro-Confederate stance, your Southern stance, your pro-Christian stance, when the news nerds and the black offended hyphen Americans and the LBGTQ, NC and St. L, LNN, AT&SF, and all that group jump on you, you never, never, ever apologize. You never back up. You never recant your statement, because that, as we said, is like throwing fish heads and blood in the water. That'll draw sharks from everywhere. They'll all come after you then. And give that example of Trent Lott, that senator from Mississippi, that made a comment about Strom Thurmond when he was in the Senate. They were having like a 98th birthday party or something like that. And Trent Lott said, well, Strom Thurmond ran for president, and we'd be a lot better off today if he were president. And everybody laughed. It's just a joke at an old gentleman's birthday party. Well, the news media went ballistic, and all the black, racist hate groups that are out there went ballistic, because Strom Thurmond ran for president, and I think it was the late 40s, early 50s, somewhere along there, on the Dixiecrat third party. And he was against what the federal government was doing to the South as far as forced integration, which has proven to be a disaster. And he was right, way ahead of his time. So Trent Lott then went around and apologized to all of these black Republican or black Democratic caucus in Congress. He apologized to this black group, and he apologized to that black group, said we'll even have to start studying about reparations and all of this. Well, once he did that, then everybody jumped in there on him. So that's why I'm trying to tell our listeners, don't ever apologize. If you're right, if you're standing on historical facts and Christian beliefs, don't ever apologize and don't ever recant what you said. Turn the tables on them. Attack them. And you're saying the war was fought over slavery? President Lincoln said it wasn't. President Davis said it wasn't. Read the diaries and journals and letters that the soldiers wrote that had to go out there in the field and actually tear the cartridge and ram the charge and fire the rifle. Read what they said. They said they're fighting because Tennessee was being invaded, and they didn't give a rat's rear end about the slaves. But the Tennessee was being invaded, Virginia was being invaded, Kentucky was being invaded, and they were fighting to defend their homes and their families. So, you know, throw it back on them and so, you know, just make them defend their position. They came up with a stupid statement, then make them defend it, which they can't do because they get these statements from CNN or The View or some liberal crackpot, and they throw it out there, and somebody that's supposedly a conservative kind of fumbles with their answer and maybe gives a correct answer like Tricky Nikki Haley did, but then doesn't have anything to back it up with. And then that's when they really, really come after you. And, you know, all jump in there. Well, unless you have plenty of ammunition on your cartridge belt to fire back at them, they don't, they've never been put on the defensive. That's what I'm trying to say. They don't know how to defend a stupid position. They make these stupid statements that they get from the news media or the New York Times or NBC or CNN or something like that. And just because they say it, everybody believes it's true. And you can always throw this one back at them and say, you know, that's basically, it's a lie. And Dr. Joseph Goebbels of the National Socialist Party in Germany said, a lie told once is always a lie, but a lie told 1,000 times becomes history. And so that's where a lot of their information comes. It's based on lies that have been repeated over and over and over again. And just like we've talked about, Eddie, and what you've talked about, the American people have been so dumbed down by the internet, a lot of the stuff they get on the internet and their so-called smartphone and television and this constant bombardment of this liberal, communist, Jewish propaganda that we have thrown at us. They believe this garbage. And they don't study factual history anymore. They don't go to history books. They get their history off of TV, and it's 99% of the time it's incorrect. But they think because I seen it on the TV, and that's what they said, they think it's factual history, and it isn't. So, you know, another thing I've thrown out at them, I said, are you telling me that 900,000 Southern white boys fought in the most brutal war that was ever fought in the Western Hemisphere, that suffered crippling, horrific wounds and went back in the army and got wounded a second, third, and fourth time, subsisted on a handful of rations that would barely keep a bird alive, and then the last year of the winter of the war, they marched barefoot through ice and snow, Hood's retreat from Nashville back down to the Tennessee River, or Lee's troops freezing to death in the ice in the trenches around Petersburg. You're telling me they did that just to keep a bunch of simple-minded darkies around to pick some rich man's cotton and pour his mint juleps? I said, you have never been under fire in combat, have you? Well, I saw Saving Ryan's privates, or Saving Private Ryan, or whatever. I saw that. I don't know what combat was. Yeah, I don't know what. No, I'm saying, have you been under fire in combat? Because it's a whole different ball game when you go through something like that. You wouldn't come up with a stupid statement about these boys went out and fought for slavery. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. So anyway, that's what we're trying to do, is give our listeners some ammunition to fire back at these idiotic questions that we have thrown at us. And I'm just zeroing in on the Southern history, the Confederate history, and the falsehoods that have been thrown against that. But you folks out there, when you're attacked for being a conservative or a Trump supporter or being a fundamentalist-type Christian, not this, you know, feel-good kind of religion that we have in the rock and roll religion that we have now, but when you defend basic Christianity, you've got to have some ammunition to throw back, and you go on the attack and throw the questions back at them and put these clowns on the defensive, because what they will do if they get backed into a corner, then they're going to start calling you names. Well, well, you're just a racist. You're racist. That's all. Yeah. So once they start calling you names, you know the ball game's over and you've won. And you can go down there and tear down their goalpost or cut down their hedge or whatever you want to do on their field. But you've won the game if they start calling you names, because they have nothing to come back with. So that's what we're trying to do here on Blood River Radio, is have a sort of a tutoring course for our listeners and our supporters of how to fight against these communist perverts that control the media, that control the school boards, that control the local, state, and Lord have mercy, control every venue in the federal government, how to throw it back in their face, make them defend. Just like Forrest said, never stand to receive the attack of the enemy. Always take the initiative. Get there first with the most men.
That sounds like great advice to me, Gene. Folks, be right back after this quick little commercial break.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you.
Dear Blood Roof Radio family, I cannot believe this is the last segment tonight. It's just incredible how fast this time goes. Even with our brand new high-tech clock, it seems like it's going faster than ever. But I'd like to just chime in. Oh, what Gene said, he is 100% right. And this one thing stood out to me about these people saying, these ignorant people saying that the war is fought about slavery. You know, my ancestors were dirt poor. I'm really proud of them because this may sound like an aside, but it's not. Like going back to my grandfather, who was born in Arkansas in 1887, he came down from the Oklahoma-Arkansas line. My grandmother was born there in the Oklahoma Indian Territory. That's how far back they go. They came down to the Delta of Arkansas during the Depression. They lived basically in the Ozarks. They were poor, and they were dirt farmers. They were sharecroppers, and you don't know poor. I remember going in the sharecropper house every summer. You could look through there was a hole in some of the floors. You could see the chickens underneath in the floor. They had no indoor plumbing. They had the old outhouse. You had to go outside and pump the water with the old timey pump. I still remember you had to prime the pump. You had to pour water. You just don't go out and start pumping water. You have to prime the pump of the water. These people were dirt poor. And they came from ancestors that were dirt poor. Now they're my grandfather's sons, my uncles. And my aunts, I'm so proud of them. They came from that. I mean, from dirt. I had one uncle who went in the Navy. Gene can identify with that. As the Marines, he can tell you that he was a former Marine, but the Marines were the men's department of the Navy. They were just the department of the Navy. They were the men's department.
They used to be, Eddie. Not anymore.
That's right.
You're as woke as anybody else is now. So
and that's
I'm
so
an
sad.
Ex-Marine. X.
I had a cousin, my second cousin, he's dead now, and an uncle that Marines in Korea. And I'm sure if they were alive, they would feel like Gene. They would never admit, you know, being part of the Marines, probably some of them. But anyway, he was on the battleship. My uncle was on the battleship, the Guam, not the battleship, but the cruiser. Anyway, when he got out of the Navy, World War II, he went to work for Ford, worked his way up at Ford Motor Company, became a supervisor. Keep in mind, no high school education. All three of those uncles that came out of that dirt made it big. But I'm going to tell you, can you imagine someone like my grandfather Davis, who was born not too long after the war ended? Could you imagine people like that wading through ice with no shoes? Like Gene said, if you've ever been in combat, you keep your damn mouth shut if you've never been there and talk about what you do, what you wouldn't do. You have no idea what you're talking about. But could you imagine somebody like my grandfather wading through, who was dirt poor, never had a slave in his life, and he fighting in ice and snow and cold and living off of baked acorns for a damn slave, for somebody to keep a handful of darkies? I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. That's what struck me. Here's something I like to add. And when they start talking about their stinking Holocaust, tell them this. We have disproved the Holocaust on this program right here many times. We've had hours and hours and hours. We had Fred Leutcher, and I'm going to make this quick, but this is some of the ammunition you can use. Fred Leutcher, love him or hate him, he is considered by three nations, the nation of Canada, the nation of the United States, in certain states in Germany, as being the world's, he's not just an expert, he is the world's foremost experts on gas chambers. And he's also an expert on lethal injection equipment, which he's designed as an engineer. Leutcher and his team have gone to Germany Robert Forasson. Robert Forasson, who was the historian in France, he was considered like the grandfather historical review. They disproved the so-called Holocaust many times over. They've put it out there. We've done shows about it. I don't have time to talk about it tonight, but they did it through science, through engineering, and through all kinds of, they've used documents from photographs taken from high altitude planes during the war. They've disproven it 100 times. We'll have them on the show again before too long to talk about the Holocaust. But my point is, the so-called Jew Holocaust has just been proven to be the greatest lie in the history. Matter of fact, Monica Schaefer said it's the linchpin lie. If we can ever get people to wake up what this Holocaust lie was, it is the linchpin that holds all other lies together. But what you can be proved, the Holodomor, where the Jews went in to the Ukraine in the 30s, and they intentionally starved millions, up to 11 to 12 million people were starved to death intentionally because they didn't want to give their farmland up. And that was done by the Jews, the concentration camps running the secret police in the Soviet Union. We have a book that documents the ones like Genrikh Yagoda, for one of them. Genrikh Yagoda, he's been bragged, the Jews' newspapers themselves, they bragged that Genrikh Yagoda killed more people than was left against Hitler. He supposedly killed 10 million people. You can prove that. You can also go and you can research what Alexander Solzhenitsyn said. It's been proven there's 66 million white people, white Christians, killed by the damn Jews in the Jewish concentration camps in the Soviet Union from the 1920s up to the 1950s. That can be proven. The damn Holocaust, can that not be proven as fact, it's been disproven. So that's some ammunition they can use on these people, Gene. So
yeah. Get the names, get the facts, get the information. Throw it back on them, put them on the defensive, make them prove the lies and propaganda and myths that they base all of these stories on and base all their accusations against us. I'm going to relinquish my time. Nancy had a couple more things she wanted to cover, and I'd like to turn it back over to Nancy before we run out of time and let her get that in there. Nancy, please, go ahead.
Nancy, I want to make one quick comment. What you said, what Nancy said on second hour, she was talking about Martin Luther, and Martin Luther just said what we need is to do the Jews. We need all these horrible things, burn their houses down, rape them, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, that's exactly what the Jews are doing to the Palestinians, even as we speak in real time. So anyway, I just want to point that out, Nancy. You were on fire again. But go ahead, Sister Nancy. Take us
That's exactly what they're doing. Well, I have some things to say about Nikki Haley from the American Free Press, but when we start talking about Confederates and how they suffer, I thought I might read this. It is from a book called Hanging Rock Rebel, and we know that something like 10,000 soldiers were killed at Gettysburg. I was telling Eddie, can you imagine digging up and burying these horses and people? And after the war, they were finding the bones and limbs of these people after they were tilling up the ground. It had to be an absolute horror. But this is something about that was written by Confederates who were escaping from Gettysburg after the battle. Of course, it was a catastrophe. It's called the Apron Flag. We were moving along at rather a slow gait as our horses were jaded and hungry. We were wet to the hide, tired and hungry as hounds and sleepy as owls. Many of the boys were sleeping soundly as they rode along. All at once, the boys in the front began cheering, which we could not account for. A little way in front stood an old stone mill. A few feet further, a dwelling house with a porch in front. Several ladies stood on the porch. Among them was a young girl, I would think about 14 or 15 years of age. She wore a white apron, which she had fashioned into a Confederate flag. It was the light of this little flag that caused the cheering, the one ray in the land of the foe, which lighted up the gloom which reigned supreme within the breast of many despondent Confederates, as in sadness and sorrow at having to leave so many of their comrades behind, they retraced their steps towards their children's homes. Captain McDonald halted in front of the young lady and politely asked her to present him with the apron flag. I had halted by the captain's side and remember, as though it was only yesterday, instead of 36 years ago, on the 6th day of June, 1896-99. Without a word, she reached with her right hand to her left side. With a single jerk, tore the apron flag from its moorings and threw it over the railings. The captain caught it, expressed his thanks, and with a lordly bow, passed on amid deafening cheers from hundreds of Confederate throats.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a very emotional letter there, Sister Nancy.
Well, when one thinks about how, one of the things that I can remember in the reading, and you have to read real diaries and the real facts of the suffering of our people. When you think, one of the things that really stood out to me was one of these, possibly black, but I think it was white. He was carrying the injured in the back of an open cart. And he said the moans and the agony that came from the wounded was like being in the bowels of hell.
Golly, I'm glad you closed that. That's an emotional letter. Like you had another emotional letter a while back. And I'll never forget that. Anyway, it looks like we've run completely out of time, Sister Nancy and Brother Gene. Thank y'all so much for coming on, and thank y'all for making Blood River Radio what it is. I certainly couldn't do this by myself, that's for sure. We're all working as a team. Thank you, Jay, for running the board effortlessly and helping with our little technical problem we had earlier. Thank you, Blood River Radio family, for tuning in. God willing, same time next week, the 13th of January, we'll be back here with you. Good night, everybody.